go to the arrows on the computer like I showed you. Click down. There you go.
There you go.
Look, on the side of that clicker, there's a button, Benny.
Uh-huh.
Slide it down. It'll vibrate. It means it's on. No, your clicker. Where your finger's at, mm-hmm. or the thumb, there's a button on the side. Slide it down.
Okay.
If it vibrates, it means the clicker's on.
Okay, So there was a gentleman there was working on the bench that repaired tools, and he said, I'd like for you to come to church with me. And I said, okay. Now, to give you a long story, my grandfather started taking me, and I went to church with him. Then I quit for a long time, and then this gentleman asked me one day. I had a young family. I was 19, is really what age I was when I started. And he decided to ask me to come to church and bring my family. So my son, my oldest one, was probably about 3 or 4, and my youngest one was about 1 month old. So I thought, well, my family needs to be brought up in the church. So I thought, well, I'll take it. So I went to church with him, met a preacher by the name of James Gamble. A lot of you might know him. He used to preach in Franklin. He wrote a couple of books, and he's a real nice gentleman. And he sort of worked with me and taught me different things. So one time he wanted me to speak, so he gave me, he said, there was 3 of us, young men's training class. He said, I'm going to give you 10 minutes each, all of them. So sort of like y'all doing with men on the 5th Sunday. So I said, okay, 10 minutes. So I practiced with my wife. I said it, I don't know how many times. I got it down to 10 minutes. So I got up there and did it, and I was done in less than 2.5. So I said, well, that's one way of speaking through it. But what I did was I wrote it all down, and I just read it, you know. And then not too long ago, I was at Shelton Mills, and Michelle Boyce said to me, said, you ought to try it just with an outline and not write it out. I said, okay, that's a good idea. So I started doing it that way. And it seems to work better for me because I can concentrate on not just reading what I wrote down, you know. I can tell you what I really think, and, you know, from my heart. And so today I want you to, we're going to talk about the perspective of the sower. And I apologize, I am getting old and I have to wear glasses, but that's part of it. Now, perspective, the definition is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. It's a point of view. So we want to talk about the perspective of the sower. If you would turn to Luke, is where I'm reading it. Thank you for reading the one I needed, Chris. I said this, I pray to God to help me with this thing. Travis picks it out sowing the seeds of the kingdom before I even ask him. Then he reads the scripture about prayer of the sower. I said, answering my prayers. All right, so we're going to start in Luke 8. We're going to start in verse 4. And when much people gathered together and come in him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell upon the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was burned, thrown up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, let me get to scripture. This thing will work. Oh, how will work? Get to that.
Other way. Other way.
Other way. Let's go back to that. All right. Okay, now, you can have what to call a wrong perspective. wrong attitude. Most Christians today have a wrong attitude. They don't look at the positive of everything. And the things you have to do is to look at positive. I worked with different companies where I had to go try to teach them to have a positive attitude. Because most people in life, because you work around people all your life, they're negative. The majority of people in the world are negative. Because you're a Christian, you should be one of the most positive people on earth. So if you have the wrong perspective, it means you have a negative attitude. So we need a positive attitude. The right perspective means you're having a positive attitude. You're thinking the right way. Your mind's clear. Your perspective is different. You can have a negative attitude, and I'm telling you, if you have a negative attitude, what's going to happen to you is negative things. When you have a positive attitude, you say, okay, I will come that obstacle, I will give it up. And that's sort of what you're going to look at. Now, I've always said this. Are we guilty of stinking thinking? Are you guilty of that stinking thinking? Because a negative attitude is a stinking thinking. That's exactly what it is. And I'm a country boy, so we talk a little bit. So we read the parable of the sower, and I want you to look at the next one here. We're going to listen to the parable explained by Jesus. So go to verse 9. We'll start there. Now you can also find this in Matthew 13 and in Mark 4. Chris had read, I think, Matthew 13 is what we read. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables, the seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable was this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear. Cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they heard, received the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in no time temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are troubled with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good hearts, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Jeff helped me get this thing together, y'all. Preacher's doing a good job. The power of God is in His word. When we're going to sow the seed, like the gentleman sowed the seed with me, when I was working at Black & Decker, he was at work. He invited me to come to church. I could have denied or I could win, and I decided to go. In the process, he just sowed the seed. The other gentleman watered, and then I came to the growth. That is what you don't think about. Your attitude toward people in this world is you've got to give them that attitude. You have to be positive. You have to tell them about the Word of God. Without you telling them, they're not going to know. A lot of people in this world do not know. My wife, when she was teaching class back when we were at Bell Road in Nashville, a little girl came in. She was about, I think, 6 or 7. Her parents had brought her up in Catholic. When she got to talk to her in class, she didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. No, that's a sad situation. You've got a child 6 or 7 years old and don't know who Jesus Christ is. So you've got to plant that word. The power is in God's word. Let's turn to Romans 1:6-10. I didn't have time for Jeff to get the scriptures in there, so we did this sort of in a hurry. So. Romans 1:6-10. And I will start at verse 14. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. See, that is a positive attitude. He was eager to preach the word of God. That is what we have to have as Christians. We have to have that positive attitude. We have to have the positive motivation to get out and talk to people about Christ. You know, I don't know about y'all, but we live in a negative world. Jeff one time at Shelby Mills asked me why I come on Wednesday night. I said it's because it's my B12 shot to get me through the rest of the week. Because with God's people, we are edified and built up. That gives you the positivity to go out in this world that we live in and carry on, because we are in a negative world, an absolute negative world. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, that the just shall live by faith." Paul understood the gospel. It's the power of God. He has been revealed to us, the power. And what do we have, each and every one of us, in our hands, if we've got a Bible? We have the power of God that helps us to bring souls to Christ. And so this is what you got to look at. You got to look at the positive attitude. Now, let's tell them conversion requires God's Word. Now, there's other scriptures you can read them too that I've got up on the board. Let's turn to 1 Peter.
Just swipe it. There you go.
There we go. All right. I feel it moving up now. Let's see. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's Word that we learn as we're children, learn the gospel. As soon as we obey the gospel, then we are in a process of growth. We're becoming better Christians. We're edifying and building up each other. Young people that are baptized into Christ, a lot of times the preachers will say, "We baptize another one." But if you're not helping that young one to grow, you've done nothing but just get wet. You, responsibility, the congregation is responsible for getting those people to do the things that they need to do in Christ. All right, let's go to the next one. We must present the whole gospel. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And I apologize for not getting all this stuff. I'm trying to learn this stuff. So, and by the way, Jeff and Dan come to me and said, "We need you to do it in 5 minutes. Can you do it in 5 minutes? I said, "5 minute talk." Okay, yeah, I can do 5 minutes. And he said, "No, in 5 minutes." He wanted to preach. I said, "No." And then I asked Jeff, I said, "Are you sure it's just 5 minutes?" He said, "No, you got to preach." I said, "Oh, okay." I thought, well, I won't be able to do that. "Moreover, brethren, I declare you to you under the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, for which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures." So Paul is telling the Corinthians about Christ and how he was raised. He's giving them the plan. He's telling them what Christ did for us and how he died and was raised again. Like he told them, he would die and be built up again in 3 days. And that's exactly what he told them. And Paul is one of the best. Let's go to Romans first before we go to this next one. Romans 2, verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" God's goodness and his mercy leads to our repentance. Well, if we didn't have the gospel, we'd be lost. With the gospel, now that we have the revealed word, then we have an opportunity, a chance to make things right. And me and Clayton, we talked about that. Chance, you know, it's two different ways of looking at it. I think you have a chance, because if you don't receive the gospel, you ain't got no chance. But when you receive the gospel, you do have a chance. Everybody has a chance. But what do you got to do? You got to take that chance. And most people don't want to take the chance. The results depends on the soul. If rejected, the soil is at fault. Let's turn to Matthew 10:14. And whosoever shall not receive you or hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So he was telling the disciples to go out and preach the gospel. But he says, if you go to a house and they don't accept you and don't want to do it, what you got to do? Shake off the dust. You can't get everybody. You know, that's the key. Acts 13:46. Well, I'm going to turn to that. You've got to help people obey the gospel. So over my lifetime, I guess, since I was young enough, still have several. Some that I went to church with young men, my nephews, all of them. But the thing is, other people take over and are supposed to water and keep them up. You know, I might plant a seed, somebody else will water. God gives the increase. But they let them slip through the cracks. They end up, going to Catholic, the other ones, two went to Baptist, one to somewhere else. Because the people where they were visiting and stuff didn't keep them going in the right direction. And that's what you've got to do here at this congregation. As you lead these new Christians to Christ and get them away, you've got to help them progress. You've got to stick with them. Because not everybody knows the Word of God frontwards and backwards. And you have to sit down with them and talk to them and explain it to them, because that's the key. So it rejects us, Acts 13:46. Now, I got this new Bible. It's got all these notes in between. Sometimes it's like three pages before you get to one verse. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put in from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. So here, they're going to talk to the Jews. The Jews did not want to have nothing to do with it. So what did he say? Lo, we're going to the Gentiles. So by him going to the Gentiles now, we are Gentiles. So we are now part of God's family because what? We have obeyed the gospel. Now, how do we succeed? Every time we sow a seed, we succeed. They might not accept it. They might reject it. But we've succeeded. We did our part. Our part is a little part. God asked us to go and preach the gospel. He told the apostles. So that's an example that we have that we need to go do. And so that's what we need to do. We need to succeed. We need to do that. And conversion is what they call icing on the cake. When we convert someone, we've done our part. We've made the Word of God, show them the way to obey the gospel. Now, once they obey the gospel, we don't stop there. We keep going. Now, our job as Christians is to be simply seed throwers. Okay? Now, I know a lot of you guys have been farmers, planted gardens, and you know how it is. You go out there and you throw the seeds. If you just throw them on top of the ground, they'll put a little dirt over them a lot of times and just won't come up. And then sometimes you can throw them on the seed and they happen on the ground and they'll just spring up. But like he says, if you don't have enough root, you just blood blisters and die. So you've got to go out there and sow the seeds. We are just simply seed throwers. That's what we need to be. We don't have to prepare the soil. The Word of God, when we speak the Word of God, it is what prepares the soil. God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. So when we go to talk to people, it cuts bone in there. That's what we've got to do. The Word of God, when Jeff gets up here and preaches to y'all every week, he is trying to edify and build you up, to teach you what we need to do. We are being edified when he preaches. I learn a lot when he preaches. And I like it if he does it on PowerPoint because I can read. And I like having scripture there. I wish I'd had time to do scripture. But you know, you got to prepare the soul. God does. God gives increase. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. We, the church, are God's husbandry, we're the building. You know, a lot of times they say, well, go to church. You know, they talk about the building. You know, church is the people in the building. But, you know, you got to correct people sometimes, you know, eventually, you know, let it sink in. But God gives the increase. In other words, Jeff can preach the gospel, somebody listens, they hear it, they obey it. And then Rick out here might be one that waters him and helps nourish him, that little Christian, to become a full-grown Christian. But we all of us as Christians, participate in that. We are all here to help that new Christian to expand, you know. If that preacher had never helped me, I would never been here today. He watered me. He kept me, and he said, now I'll do the preaching. I said, I don't want to preach. That's what I told him. I said, you don't know. I don't want to preach. He said, okay. He said, you do the psalm reading. I said, okay, I'll do the psalm reading. I said, I can do that. So I did the psalm reading for years and years and years, and then finally he kept pushing me to get up here and preach. But I didn't really learn preaching until I got to Shelby Mills. I had a great aunt one time. She said, I heard you preach. And I said, yeah, I have preached some, but not much. I said, I'm not going to be a preacher. She said, where'd you go to school for it? I said, I don't have to go to school. I got a Bible. A lot of people think you have to go to theological school to learn to be a preacher. All you got to do is pick up the Bible. God's Word is full of knowledge and information.
Amen.
He can use his defective sowers. Let's turn to Philippians 1, 15 through 18. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. But the one preacheth Christ with intention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether it be in credence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yeah, I will rejoice. So in other words, there are people out there preaching false doctrine. So today, in the world we live in, we have thousands and thousands of denominations. We're preaching false teachings. So what do we have to do? We preach the truth. We preach the truth, and what's going to happen is those people will come to us. If you preach God's word in its sincerity, with love, you're not going to have no problems. God will give the increase. He always has. All right, we talked about this. Often one sows and another reaps. Jeff sows the word, somebody obeys, somebody else might get the benefit of the reaping, you know, the baptism. You know, he might sow the seed. They think about it. You know, you don't obey the gospel sometimes. Most people don't obey it the first time. But a lot of times it sinks in and they have to think about it. I remember I was 12 years old. And we'd been in Nashville, and my mother went with me to church, and the guy was preaching the gospel. She decided she wanted to obey the gospel. Well, she decided that I was going to obey the gospel too, so she grabbed me by the hand and drug me up there too. I didn't know what I was going up there for, really. But they baptized me. I'm going, okay? I didn't know what I was really for. And so when I was 19, the gentleman who got me to Black and Decker, that got me to church, he invited me to go, and so the preacher there baptized me. I told him, I said, you know, I was baptized when I was 20, but I said, I wasn't baptized. I was not baptized for the right reasons. I didn't even know why I was being baptized. My mother just drug me down So you don't want to be baptized for the wrong reasons. If you're going to be baptized, make sure it's the right reason. And when I learned the gospel and knew what I was supposed to do, then I wanted to be baptized. So that's what you guys do. As Jesus taught his disciples, let's turn to John 4. Jeff, you were right there. There's lights up here. Starting at verse 35. John 4:35-38. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he and that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whatsoever you bestow no labor, other men labor, and you are eternal and enter into their labors. In other words, somebody else is going to reap. You have got to go out there. You've got to plant the seed to these people so they will receive the word of God. We may never see the fruit of our labors. In other words, you're preaching the gospel. The seed falls upon a heart. They go somewhere else. They might leave the state. They might obey the gospel later on, but it was the seed that you planted that got them to do it. So don't think when you give your words of wisdom to people that they're not listening. Because people do listen. Like the gentleman who asked me, if I hadn't listened, I'd never been in church. So you've got to listen. And if it falls upon a sincere heart, towards itself, it'll be good. Okay. We may make it easier for others. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. That's a positive attitude right there. And there it is. Now, are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother? That's one of the things we talk about. God's providence is at work. He knows the searching heart. Let's turn to Acts 18. Verses 9 and 11. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a mighty night of vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So he taught the word of God. And there are people that are searching the word. Those who hunger will be filled. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Now, if you notice, I use a lot of scripture. The reason why I use a lot of scripture is when I tell you something, I want you to know that it's from God's word. And that's something I made up. So Matthew 5, verse 6. This is the Beatitudes. One of them says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We have to hunger for God's righteousness. We have to remember that God gave us His Word through the inspired men of God that we can learn from it. Let's turn to Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So God's word is for us. We have to hunger for his word. We are God's fellow workers. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, the minister by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man that shall receive his reward according to his own labor. For your labors together with God, and your husbandry and God's building. Sorry, I read that twice. I didn't know I put it down twice. God opens the doors for prepared workers. We have doors of opportunity. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16:9. You know, when you're out in your everyday walks of life, you know, you need to make sure you don't forget who you are. Make sure you live a Christian life for people to see Christ in you. A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. This was Paul's instructions to Corinthians. So he had many adversaries, but there was a great door open to him that he could preach the gospel. So same thing for us. We have a great opportunity. We live in a world that is wicked, and we need to change it. And the only way you're going to change it is one person at a time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:12. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me to the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So Paul, if you ever read all of Paul's works, he was such a fervent spirit for God and his word. He, under every kind of adversity, he taught the gospel. And that's sort of what we have to do. You know, one of these days it might be that we be persecuted. We never know how this world is going. He uses those who are prepared. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows his people. We have to depart from iniquity. What does that mean? Iniquity is lawlessness. So if we're not doing what God says, then we're living in lawlessness. You know, so you got to make sure you're living the right way. Both individuals and congregations. Prayer is a catalyst. You know, before I got up here today, twice I prayed that everything would go good and that everything would come to me that I need to speak. You know, a lot of preachers say he laid it on your heart. He don't lay it on your heart. You've got to study and do your part. But I believe God has his effects with making you say the right things if you want to. I believe if you pray hard enough, he will give you what you need. Prayer is the catalyst that keeps the things together. It's that jumpstarts God's providence. Between praying and searching and a servant, searcher and servant. Let's turn to Acts 10:1-4. Acts 10:1-4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a man called the Italian, a devout man and one that feared God, with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, The prayers and thy alms are come up before a memorial to God. And now send me of Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. he shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. Let's go on down to verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on the journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray. And about the sixth hour, he became very hungry and would not have eaten. But while they made ready to be filled, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending upon him. And he had a great sheaf net of four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice out of him saying, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, sir, Lord, that I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, saying a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So God was giving Peter a vision of what he needed to do. He's saying, you know, it's not just for the Jews. You have to go to other places. He's saying, it's not unclean, it's clean. So go do your job. And so what did he do? He went to Cornelius. And Cornelius bowed down for him and he told him, no. You know, God sent it here. And he baptized the whole congregation, Cornelius. Household of Cornelius, the whole thing. So the thing about it is, the Word of God is powerful. That's what we got to believe in. If you don't believe, as a Christian, if you don't believe this book, you don't need to be a Christian. This book has everything that we need to know, and that's the key. Do we pray to lead me to some soul with that? Have you ever prayed that? When I do these lessons are for me too. Okay? Do you ever pray that you lead me to soul? I had never done it. So, it's something we need to pray about. Because we do need to be led to those souls. There's somebody out there that needs us. Somebody needs us real bad. We reap what we sow. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9:6. Won't be one of the long-winded preachers, I guess I'm going to hurry up. But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap unto, reap also sparingly. Which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So God is telling us to sow bountifully. If we sow bountifully, we're going to what? Reap bountifully. So as a church here, y'all need to sow bountifully. And then what will happen? You will reap more. But we got to sow. So y'all, your new title is, y'all are seed throwers. Y'all just need to go out and throw the seed. Jeff watered. You know, everybody will reap the benefits from it. But we need to do it. Goals should be how many taught and not converted. We need to teach them the Word of God. God's Word is very important. We all need to know God's Word. All right, so let's review. The power is in the Word of God. The results depend on the soul. Now, you're going to find people you tell the Word of God to, it just goes right off. Like water running down back. Just don't absorb it. We're simply seed throwers. That's what we are. Often one sows, often one reaps. Jeff might do it, then we reap the benefits by banging the gospel by somebody else baptizing. God's providence is at work. God opens doors for prepared workers. If we're all prepared as children of God, then we're going to open the doors for people. Prayers and catalysts. And we reap what we sow. Now, the end of the lesson says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what you got to remember. Your work is not in vain. Now, if you're a child of God, you know, if you've fallen short and done things that you didn't need to do, made a public sin that needs to be brought forth to the congregation, you need to come forward and let's pray for you. But if you never obeyed the gospel is the power of God and salvation. You repent, believe, confess Jesus is Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what's required of us. We are just seed throwers, and that's what you need to remember. If you would, please stand and sing.
Praise Christ, your broken heart.